everybody, and welcome to another episode of Drinking Religiously, the official podcast of Hair of the Dogma. I am Eli Shiatovich, and with all, as always, I've got with me, who are you?
I don't know who I am.
Brandon.
You don't know who you are?
I don't know who I am.
Yeah, I'm
we don't. We don't believe in God, but we believe in Santa Claus.
Yes.
How does that work out? All right, folks, we are back with another episode. Frankly, we're dragging little ass today.
No.
Yeah, you've been drinking for what, 3 days in a row now?
3 days, yeah.
Yeah, and I've had every other day. So, and we, speaking of, what are we drinking this episode?
We are drinking Salvation, the lovely part of the religious trilogy offering from Avery Brewing Company.
That's why we love them so much.
And yeah, it's kind of fitting, you know, what we're talking about today. And
Salvation.
Which we won't have
we're going to need it after this episode, because we're about ready to crucify Christmas.
Oh, that's messed up.
That's, yeah, that is pretty offensive, isn't it? taking a sip. Oh, my God. That's a little change of pace from what we were drinking a little bit earlier.
Yeah, a little bit. Not much.
Holy cow.
Well, it's, yeah, 9%
Woo!
Too, I think. Yeah.
That is, that's hurting. That's hurting.
2 for 2, 9% beers now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we got to do. Okay, we're actually going to be a little more structured this time. We've got an outline. But first, we want to mention that Merry Christmas to everybody. This is the Christmas episode. We're going to talk about Christmas and all of its wonders on this particular episode. But before we dive into that, we want to take a moment and express our sympathies and our thoughts and, well, I would say prayers, but I don't pray.
Yeah, it doesn't really do much.
Maybe. It doesn't do anything. To the folks in Connecticut who's going through a tragedy that, you know, not many of us can begin to fathom. So anybody that's saying crap here and there and whatever, this isn't the time to do it. We are going to address that in a later episode because we think some of the stuff that's coming out from the religious right is a bunch of hogwash. Yeah. We've got our own thoughts and ideas on the matter, but this is not the time to do it. It's just out of respect for them because, you know, it's just a tragedy. So we're going to bypass that. We haven't forgot it. We didn't miss it. We know what's going on, but we're not going to talk about it right now. The other little quick hit that we want to do is we're less than a week away from the end of the world.
Yes.
According to, you know, what some people think is the Mayan calendar, which,
according to the idiots.
Yes, according to the mouth-breathing morons that don't want to do.
Anyone that actually has a degree in something will tell you that it's not going to happen. But.
Right. It is not the end of the world. The Mayan calendar does not say that it's the end of the world. It's not never been predicted by the Mayans.
Well, I mean, you know, you and I have never actually even talked about this. I mean, does that mean our calendar ends December 31st? I mean, does
right.
the world
so,
end every year? No.
That is a great analogy right there. It does not mean that it's the end of the world when our calendar runs out.
Exactly,
it just
yeah.
starts a new cycle, which is exactly what the Mayan calendars do. We've posted quite a bit about this on our website, hairofthedogma.com, debunking a lot of the myth. And most of this is just propaganda from people that want to make some money off of this hokey BS.
We can make money on this?
We can't. I mean, we're just two dudes in a shack talking into a microphone. But we did want to address it because, you know, if we are wrong, then, hey, it was
it
nice
really,
knowing you.
And it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because no one's going to be around to hear this anyway. So, if you want to learn more about it, come join us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/hairofthedogma or go to our website, hairofthedogma.com, and check out some of the articles that we posted about the BS and the bunk. So, let's dive into our main topic of this particular episode.
It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas. Christmas,
Yay.
Christmas, Christmas. And I've got to go to my script over here and go to this because I want to play this.
Yes. The miserable atheist.
Yes. Last time, previously on Drinking Religiously, we actually praised the old geezer that is Pat Robertson for lashing out about young Earth creationists and their hokey beliefs. This week, we are going to nail him to the wall. And whose phone is that? Turn your phone off, bastard! It's all good. This isn't a professional thing anyway. This week, old Pat Robertson calls out atheists, actually calls them miserable atheists, and saying that they are trying to steal Christmas. Now, I'm going to try to play this little audio clip. It's not very long. It's only 20-something seconds. Let me get the computer over here. Alrighty, let's get this fired up.
Christmas all over again. The Grinch is trying to steal our holiday. It's been so beautiful. The nation comes together. We sing Christmas carols. We give gifts to each other. We have lighted trees, and it's just a beautiful thing. Atheists don't like our happiness. They don't want you to be happy. They want you to be miserable. They're miserable, so they want you to be miserable. So they want to steal your holiday away from you.
So, yeah, there we go. That's what old Pat Robertson said about atheists. And we're... Okay, let's just dive in here. Aside from the fact that Brandon's phone just keeps going off like it was a bad Christmas carol or some damn thing.
It won't go off anymore.
So, in that little clip, Pat alludes to Christmas carols, giving gifts to each other, and lighted trees. And he says that all these things, well, he alludes to it. I'm not going to... He alludes to that these being Christian traditions in Christmas.
Right. Yep. I would gather that. I mean, that's...
Is that a safe assumption?
They want us. They want to take our holiday, right. Our holiday away. Holiday.
Right.
Yeah, he's... And he is obviously a Christian.
Mm-hmm. The problem is... None of those things are Christian traditions.
Gasp!
I know, right? I am aghast and taken back by that statement. In fact, there is virtually nothing about our current Christmas that is based on any Christian tradition. It is all pagan. All three of those things that he mentioned in there, pagan.
Christmas Carol started with people... basically getting drunk and singing naked in the street.
Exactly. It goes back to the Middle Ages when they were singing songs to... Well, let me see. What is it? Where there were folk songs sung during harvest festivals. Lighted trees go back to the pagan solstice festivals where long before Christianity... There was evergreen trees used in ancient pagan celebrations of the winter solstice. They did this as a reminder of the green plants that would return with the resurgence of their sun god. Ancient Egyptians honored Ra, their sun god, with palm leaves and evergreen trees. Romans decorated their homes and temples with evergreen boughs during Saturnalia. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. The Vikings thought evergreens were the special plant of their god Balder, and they burned Yule logs, which is also not a Christian tradition. Germany is credited, in fact, with starting the Christmas tree tradition as we know it in the 16th century when devout Christians brought decorated trees into their homes. And it's, in fact, it's believed that Martin Luther, the 16th century Protestant reformer, first added lighted candles to a tree.
So how is his son in the 1950s? No, okay. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Bad. That is bad.
Sorry.
Yule, also called Yuletide or Yule Time, was an indigenous pagan midwinter festival celebrated by Germanic people, and it was absorbed into celebrations surrounding Christmas over time with the Christianization of Christmas. There's a lot of Christian Christmas. We're going to mess that word up a lot today, I think.
A little bit.
Christmas gifts. Also a pagan tradition that started with the Roman festival of Saturnalia.
Hey, there's that word again.
Yes. the Catholic Church banned gift giving during the Middle Ages because it was a pagan tradition.
What is to believe the number one Christian organization in the world?
Yes.
Banned gift giving?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, because of its pagan origins.
Well, that's not in the Bible.
No, it's not. But over time, they found justification in giving gifts because of the Magi in the Magi, however you want to say it, in baby Jesus story.
I tell you what, anytime you want to give me gold, you're good in my book, brother.
Frankincense, myrrh,
yeah,
gold.
I'll give you some myrrh.
Yep, some myrrh. Thanks, appreciate that. Okay, so let's dive into this whole December 25th thing, because that has a lot of interesting facts that even I didn't know about until I started doing research for this. Now, like I said, I've been a Christian. I was a Christian for most of my life, and I never researched any of this stuff when I was a Christian. Didn't want to learn about any of this beyond what I was told and regurgitated and over and over and over that, yeah, we celebrate it for baby Jesus' birthday.
Because, right, it's celebrated on the birthday because he was born that day, and that's the gospel. That's what you believe in.
That's what we were told.
And when you actually start looking into it, it's like,
right.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes. In fact, baby Jesus was not ever born in December, let alone December 25th.
Well, you could actually, in some cases, probably drop off, stop after ever.
Yeah, I mean, some people don't even believe that he was a real person. And I don't know, I'm not going to get into that. We're not going to get into that in this episode. I actually think that he was. I think that he was an important person. I think, you know, like many of them do, like many of the other religions think he was. But that's a thing for another thing. It is pretty much unanimously believed that Jesus was not born on December 25th. And we can actually use the Bible and what it says to help us find out when he was born. So, according to Luke chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we know that the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night when baby Jesus was born. Shepherds were not in the fields during December, because it was too cold and rainy in the land of Judea. So, the Bible says there were dudes out there looking after their flock at night. They couldn't have been there because it was bad weather. Just too cold.
There were aliens.
There was aliens.
I'm just... You got your...
It's always going to be aliens.
Yeah, it's always... You got your... your track, and I keep
derailing me, fucker.
I'll stop.
No, it's all good. We're just talking. We're two guys talking about religion over beer, which is the foundation of this
project. Should we mention that we're oiling each other up? Again.
Oh, who knows? I mean, that could have been in one of the books that didn't make it into the Bible. I mean, who knows? So we know that it was a custom for the shepherds to take him out around Passover, which is in March, left him out in the desert wilderness all that time, and bring him back in the fall. We know that they kept with them 24/7 while they were outside. That's a long-standing historical tradition, and therefore we know that December was too cold. The flocks weren't out, according to the Bible. Luke's account says the shepherds were, and I quote, keeping watch over their flock by night. So we can assume that October had not even yet arrived in Judea. Thus, he could not have been born later than September.
It's a good month.
It's a good month. And the September month is actually supported by a number of scholastic sources, not just what the Bible is saying. But the Bible is the ultimate word to a lot of people. So, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says that Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to register in a Roman census. And we know that these things weren't taken in the middle of winter because temperatures were too cold and the roads were in really bad condition. So there's another point saying that, okay, December absolutely was not the day or the month. So using math and what some of the facts that the Bible provided, we can actually figure out when baby Jesus was born. So Luke chapter 1, verses 24 through 36 says that Elizabeth, who is John the Baptist's mother, was in her sixth month of pregnancy when Jesus was magically and virginally conceived. So, 6 months. John's father, who was Zacharias, was a priest in Jerusalem during a service called, what is that, Abijah?
Abijah.
Which is noted in Luke 1:5. Historical calculations have been done that say that this particular service in Jerusalem took place from June 13th through the 19th. And after the completion of this service, Zachariah traveled home, and he and Elizabeth got a little funky.
Oh, a little funky.
So, and that was in verses 23 and 24. So, assuming that John was conceived near the end of June, and he popped out 9 months later, that puts his birthday around the end of March. So we know that there is a six-month difference between John and Jesus. If he was born in March, 6 months later is September. There we go. Not December. So this guy, his name is Joseph Fitzmyer. He's a professor emeritus of biblical studies at the Catholic University of America and the former president of the Catholic Biblical Association, guesses that Jesus' birth occurred on September 11th, 3 BCE. So once again, we have the likely birthday of Jesus occurring in September. And from all these different sources, it's not December, and all this is corroborated by the Bible. So, here's the big question. If a lot of biblical sources are saying that he was born in September, why did Christianity take December 25th
aliens.
As their day?
Oh, no, wait.
Aliens.
Pagans.
Yahtzee. Okay.
What better way, I'm just jumping to the point here, what better way to curtail the people you're trying to bring into your religion than to take over all their holidays?
Bingo. It was basically a compromise. They're in Rome. It's the seat of
crazy.
Yeah, it's the seat of power. It's it's where everything's happening. The pagans have, long before Christianity came around, been celebrating the winter solstice in late December, usually like December 17th through the 23rd, somewhere in that time frame. There was Mithra's birthday was December 25th, which was another pagan religion that was followed by a lot of the Romans.
Who was born
soldiers.
Virginally.
Yeah.
Immaculately conceived.
Yep. A lot of similarities to Christianity. So they, as a compromise, because they wanted, like you said, they wanted to bring more pagans and convert them into their religion. In order to do that, they decided to take over one of their holidays. And that's why we celebrate December 25th as Jesus' birthday, because young Christians at the time wanted to compromise with the pagans to get them to convert. And for a long time after they co-opted December 25th, not much changed as far as that holiday went. It was still more or less thought of as the winter solstice celebrations, Mithra's birthday, and all the mid-winter harvest festival kind of celebration things all rolled up into that. And at first, you know, it was still, like you said, drunken orgies, running naked through
Christmas
the street.
Christmas caroling like that would be awesome.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe not for, I mean, I've seen some people that, yeah, they need to keep it close.
Yeah, you don't want to see them, maybe. Not at all.
The Playboy Bunny caroling
sure.
crew. Yeah, that
I
one,
mean,
that's the...
Okay, that's cool. I'm down for that. So, yeah, it was basically a way to give a birthday party, because a lot of these pagans literally thought that their gods stole the sun during the winter.
It's amazing that they realized this was happening.
Right.
We're smart enough to realize that, but we're dumb enough to think someone was taking the sun.
Well, okay. I didn't even think about this till now. So let me jump over to this thing. And one of my favorite quotes of all time comes from Christopher Hitchens, who is now deceased. He is one of the most famous anti-theists. in recent memory. And his, to go to your point, his quote is, "The original problem with religion is that it is our first and our worst attempt at explanation. It is how we came up with answers before we had any evidence. It belongs to the terrified child of our species before we knew about germs or could account for earthquakes." Which, yeah, they were smart enough to realize something was going on, but they blame the gods for it. Which is more or less what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Blaming God for Sandy,
or for
Katrina, yeah, for Connecticut,
or for not doing anything.
For not doing anything. Yeah. We are still holding accountable invisible gods, just like the ancients did in Rome and Greece and all the pagan religions down the line. We blame a unseen god for stuff, or for not doing something.
Yeah. Because God hates fags.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Westboro Baptist Church, God hates fags, they're going to boycott. Okay, shut up.
Yeah.
We're already sidetracking. It's hard to not, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard not to say stuff about that. But
cause
out of respect.
There's so many good people that have an open mind. I mean, people that are fans of Hair of the Dogma that have open discussions and are not like, "Oh, you fucking morons."
We have
there's people like
yeah.
that it
just you can't get through to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot of really good Facebook conversations with people that have a lot of open minds, but we also reciprocate. We're not the militant troll atheist. I mean, I don't even like to call myself an atheist, because that's not really... I'm not an atheist. I believe that there is something out there. It's just not what we've been taught. And I think one of the key elements to being an actual, real human being is to have an open mind and to be able to learn and adapt and change your perspectives based on what you learn and hear. A lot of religious people, and I'm not just blaming this on Christians, Muslims are as bad as anybody about this,
yeah,
if not worse. They will not listen to anything. No matter what you confront them with, no matter how many fact points you provide from a litany of scholars across multitudes of scientific traditions, and they just won't accept it.
That's kind of funny, and it just, you know, we're kind of jumping tracks here, but you know, Christians and not really even just Christians, just, you know, non-Muslim people are, you know, "Oh, the Muslims and their jihad and oh, they just want to kill all of us." And my favorite response to someone, Crusades.
Yeah.
The Crusades was the same thing.
Yeah.
In fact, the Crusades was bigger and better because they actually went out and did this stuff. They weren't just kind of talking about it and taking pot shots here and there. I mean, they actually did it and killed millions of people,
yeah,
because they didn't believe in Christ.
Yeah. And that'll be another topic,
yeah,
for another good topic for another time. But yeah, it's absolutely true. And nobody ever brings up the Crusades.
No.
Ever.
No.
Just get swept under the rug along with the Inquisition.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Because it happened way back when? When? Back to the future? Back in the past?
That was Old Testament God.
That was Old Testament God, exactly. Saturnalia was a major holiday for ancient Romans. Drinking, gift-giving, bonfires, candles, and role reversals for slaves and masters, which meant that for that day, or for that week, slaves were catered to by their masters. So it was a very popular celebration. And it actually started off, I think, 2 or 3 days long, and it was so popular that it ended up going on for a week.
How do you go from being a slave, and maybe my vision of a slave is skewed because I'm thinking of the American slaves. And,
right.
But how do you go from being a slave to being the master,
right,
quote unquote,
yeah,
and then back to being the slave?
Good,
I mean,
good question. I don't know. I mean, they must have. I don't think they were treated as harshly. I think it was still slavery, but I don't think it was slavery that we took it to.
Okay.
Although I could be wrong about that, because
like an indigent servant or something,
yes,
like a forced butler,
right,
kind of thing.
I think that was more or less. I mean, we could be talking out of our ass because that's what we do. But I don't think it was nearly as harsh.
Can you imagine that happening in the South before slavery was abolished?
Oh, no. Nope.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah. It's all it would take. Saturnalia continued into the 3rd and 4th centuries, and as the Roman Empire came under Christian rule, some of its customs were influencing the seasonal celebrations surrounding Christmas and the New Year. In the 4th century CE, or AD, however you know it as, Christianity imported the Saturnalia festival, hoping to take the pagan masses in with it. So there you go. There was all these other different kinds of winter solstices. Saturnalia was the big one in Rome, and it was the key reason why, after the 4th century, Christianity adopted the December 25th date. So, basically, very little about Christmas is actually a Christian tradition.
Well, that's not what Pat Robertson said.
I know, and he is completely talking out of his ass.
You're miserable because you're trying to take his holiday.
Well, but I may be miserable, but I'm not an atheist. I love Christmas as much as any Christian. I do. I love it. It's great. I have no problem with it. And I don't even have a problem with it being co-opted by Christianity, because that's all I really know. Still, I mean,
we should convert. Well, I did.
Convert
I
to what?
I think we should celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas.
Hanukkah's Jewish, though.
That's like 9 days of presents.
True, but then
you
on
just
a tree.
Get 9 days.
You just have a
candle.
You just have the menorah.
We get the schmaltz bottles. Make the schmaltz.
Oh, because it makes a pretty good beer.
Yeah.
That's what we should be drinking.
We should have jubilation.
Ah!
16%. Yeah,
damn
yeah,
it.
16.
We would have had half a glass of that and passed out on air.
Why is it so quiet after they're slurring their words?
Yeah,
and now they're not talking.
We slur our words anyway. One of the things, here's a couple other points about Christmas. Pope Benedict, the current pope, mind you, has stated that Christmas acquired its definitive form in the 4th century when it replaced the Roman feast of the Sol Invictus. That is a quote from your current pope. So even he is addressing the fact that Christmas was acquired based on pagan festivals. So y'all need to learn yourself.
Yeah, because what Sol Invictus is... Sun something, right?
Unconquerable Sun.
Yeah, there you go.
Which was Mithra and all of the sun gods. Because most of the cultures in pagan cultures had sun gods.
If you look at old ancient paintings of Jesus, he's got the
sun
halo.
Right,
yeah.
He's got the halo. You know what? I didn't even think about that until you just said that. So they're incorporating a pagan symbol into some of the Christian symbolism.
All probably more, and that's my speculation completely, but all probably more to bring the folds of pagan.
Absolutely.
In.
Man, that's good. Good one.
Thank you, salvation.
I'm saved!
Bring us salvation. Bring us salvation right on the show. In case you did not know this, Christmas was not declared a national holiday in this country until June 26, 1870. So it's relatively new.
Wait. This is a country founded on Christian beliefs.
Nope. But
so how do we not celebrate Christmas? Well, okay,
that's not true.
I'm sorry, that's not true. It was declared a national holiday. That
right.
Doesn't mean people weren't celebrating. That's my bad. That's my skewing of the words. I apologize.
But Christmas trees were considered pagan symbols here in the U.S. until the 1840s. So, and most Americans did not accept a Christmas tree as a Christmas tradition because it was pagan. So, 1840s, 1870s, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty close. So, really, the Christmas that we know is very new.
In relative terms, yes.
In relative historical
yes.
terminology, it is very new.
I mean, that's 140 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
200 years.
It's changed immensely.
How old is our country?
100 would be 1970. 150.
Yeah.
Ish. 140 something. Still, that's young.
Yeah.
Really. Well, how we know it is...
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is still like... If you thought of in historical timelines, it would be like one of the first generations to... You know, maybe since the 50s. I think that might not be far off. You know? 40s? Maybe 40s? Maybe 1940s?
Yeah.
As the Christmas that we know. Because when did Christmas Story take place? That was in the 1940s, right?
40? Was it in the 50s?
Was it 50s?
60s.
Hold on. Let me look it up.
Yeah, it was later than the 40s, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, because it was... 1940s, right there, yeah. Never mind.
So this, there we go.
Yeah.
1940s.
Shit.
So there we go. I mean, that was, I think, one of the first generations that experienced it. So,
well,
if 1940s, that's only 80 years.
What about the, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings? When was that? That was in the 30s.
What was that? Miracle on 34th Street or?
Something like that.
Yeah. Forgot which one.
Got a bell on the bottom of my tree every time the dogs walk by.
Oh,
bring it.
Right on.
Like, man, angels are living it up.
So we covered Christmas gifts. We covered the Christmas tree. What else?
Gift giving.
Oh, Carolyn. Here's something. During Saturnalia, human-shaped delicacies were consumed. And singing was performed in the streets. Again, there was a lot of singing in the streets. And dancing, I'm sure. Dancing and
fun.
Singing. And
what do you do when you get drunk? Sing in the streets.
Sing and dance. So some historians have said that makes it a precursor of modern gingerbread men. The human delicacies. The cookies.
Yeah.
So, and caroling, as we know, and, you know, they were all singing in the streets way back then. So we just co-opted that, gave it some... cool Christmas songs from...
Do you think they call it caroling because they all went and had their way with someone named Carol?
Carol? That's a good question. Where did the word caroling come from?
I know a Carol. I'll ask her.
Oh, yes, you do. Let me see here. Greeting cards. Greeting cards are even reaching back. Let me see here. Oh, yeah. So back in Grecian formula times... poems were sometimes attached to gifts. So they're saying that that was the precursor to modern greeting cards.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mistletoe. We didn't talk about mistletoe. Mistletoe was once considered by Greeks and Druids to have magical properties and was a pagan symbol of life and fertility. And in Scandinavia, it was considered the plant of peace. So you can wave a white flag for wartime. In other cultures of pre-Christian Europe, mistletoe was seen as a representation of divine male essence, probably due to the resemblance between the berries and the semen. Don't know. Apparently, mistletoe looks like, you know, berries.
It grows in trees.
Right.
Like a little bush.
Right. That's what she said.
It would look more like a woman.
That's what he said. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't get that. But okay.
I don't either. But, you know, the pagans were weird back then. I mean, they all thought that, you know, everything had a connection to Mother Earth. The earliest documented case of kissing under the mistletoe dates from the 16th century England, and it was a custom that was very, very popular. So, 16th century, we've had mistletoe as a
kissing
connection.
Cool.
So, yeah, like I said...
you see that commercial now? The guy's... It's some stupid fucking jewelry commercial, but... It's a mistletoe. It's the mistletoe company, and, you know, kissing is going up. Mistletoe sales are going down.
I did see that. And then he goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just because we don't believe in God, and we don't believe... I mean, I don't. I can't speak for Brandon. I used to believe in, you know, baby Jesus' birth, blah, 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 singing all the Christmas carols. And back when Christmas season first started, I told you I was listening to Christmas songs.
Yes.
And both you and your wife were...
And I'm laughing now.
You were taken aback by that. And it's like, how can you listen to them? Because they're all, like, Jesus-based.
Even beyond that, it was just not the funness. It's the whimsicalness of a lot of Christmas music, and you look at you, and you are not a whimsicalness kind of listening music guy.
You don't attach whimsy to me?
No, not at all.
No? Oh, man, that's fucked up.
I mean, you like blues, you like rock, you like some metal. I mean, you like a lot of everything. It's just Christmas music is that weird thing that everyone kind of likes, and you're like, really?
Nobody likes it at any other time of the year.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Because it is whimsical. It is sappy. It is laden with Christian symbology and terminology, and a lot of it is hokey. I mean, in fact, this is the first year that, as I was listening to some of these songs, I was becoming not angry or irate. It was just annoying. It was like, wow, I never really saw them in the light that I'm looking at them now. Now that I've deconverted,
You took the red pill in the Matrix?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I took the red pill and woke
you know
up.
If I got that wrong, we're gonna get tons of people fucking slamming
and
us.
Hopefully.
And it's only for that.
And well, I never saw the last one of that. As much as I loved the first one, and I never saw the last one of that movie because it supposedly sucked.
Well, Neo goes to the
because it's
like,
all
the
fake,
head,
right?
The head people. No, you know, I don't remember. I thought it was real. It's like everyone gets along. Basically, he goes and tells them, stop killing us, and we'll all get along. And so they all get along. That's what I remember from it.
Okay. Gotcha. So, yeah. One of the songs that I heard that really, really upset me, and it didn't upset me. It just annoyed me because it perpetuates and regurgitates stuff that reinforces a fallacy. Let me play a little lyric from it. I actually like this song. It's actually a reggae song.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day.
Okay, so no, the Bible does not say that he was born on Christmas Day. Never anywhere in the Bible does it say he was born on Christmas Day. Maybe he was born in Bethlehem. It says that in the Bible, but it doesn't say anything about him being born on Christmas Day. And that is just whether you subconsciously know it or not, that just reinforces a false idea.
Yep.
And it gets regurgitated over and over. Oh yeah, he was born on Christmas. No, he wasn't. Your own Bible says he wasn't. So stop it. Just stop it. just stop perpetuating lies is really all I got to say. So I think we've done a pretty good job of showing you that Christmas has been co-opted by Christianity. It's not, and most of its traditions have nothing to do with baby Jesus or Christ or any Christian theology. It is pagan-based.
But don't take our word for it.
No.
Go find out. Find a source that you trust.
Well,
and see what they say. And Pat Robertson shouldn't be the guy that you trust.
No.
I mean, let's be frank here.
Yeah.
That dude's a little old and...
he's whack.
He's pretty crazy.
He's whack.
Yeah, I mean, the age we live in, there's so much information. And good and bad, lies, crap, whatever. Find something that you believe and read it. I mean, the Bible. You believe the Bible?
Yeah.
Do research on it. Find people, the biblical scholars. Everyone has examined this thing top to bottom, sideways, front and back. And there's a report from 10 different guys who all studied the same thing and came with 10 different... I don't even know the word I'm looking for. I've drank too much.
Opinions?
Opinions. Yeah, reflections on what happened. Find something that you believe in or that you trust and research it, and you'll find that at least most of what we're saying falls in line with what they say.
Right, and that's you know, what I did during the course of this episode is, I mean, the finding all of those verses and chapters straight from the Bible that tell you exactly, almost pretty much, well, at least to the month, when he was born.
Yeah.
Yet, we know for a fact that he was not born in December, let alone December 25th, and we know why Christmas is celebrated on the 25th, because early Christians wanted to compromise to bring in the pagans.
And again, why? That's my whole... with this?
It's brilliant.
Why? Why do you want those people?
What do you mean? Yeah, oh, pagans. Right. Well, they wanted the numbers.
But why?
They needed it.
But why?
If
you were right, it doesn't matter.
Sure, I agree. That is a great question.
That's my basis. When you and I were, that was my thing. It's you know, I'll say it 100 million times. Why do you want Crackhead Joe walking next to you in the kingdom of heaven forever? I mean, it. Why? It doesn't make sense. If you were right, why do you want me to join you? Why do you want me to be right?
No, that's a damn good question. We could spin off on that. Whole another topic.
Oh yeah, I'm good for taking you off your track and spinning you away.
No,
but at least it's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
I'm talking, you know, somewhat legitimately.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. This is a damn good beer, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
After that, like third sip, after my palate got adjusted to it,
yeah, it's
fantastic.
It's
I feel all warm and cheery and fuzzy inside.
I do think they distribute outside of Colorado. If you have a chance to taste Avery beers, any of the beers from Colorado, but Avery and Odell in particular, Oscar Blues, I'm just going to keep naming them if I don't stop. Those three right there are excellent.
You said Odell,
excellent.
Right?
I did say
okay,
Odell.
Okay, thank
you.
And there's
Odell is number one in the state in my book.
Mine too. That's why we're friends, because we agree on a lot of things. Yeah, Odell's the best. But yeah, there's tons of breweries here in Colorado. In fact, since we're on the topic, if you are a brewery that wants your appropriately religious-themed beer on our show, give us a shout.
And we know you're out there.
And we know. Well, I mean, I'll probably come to you at some point. But if you are listening to this and want your beer on our show, send us an email at thebigdogma@hairofthedogma.com, and we'll work something out. But I'll probably get in touch with you anyway. Before we go, we just wanted to say this particular episode of Drinking Religiously was brought to you by eHarmony. Jesus loves you, so we don't have to. So we're going to wrap this up. A few closing notes here. We're going to try to do a show every 2 to 3 weeks. We love doing this. We just don't want to get burned out on doing it. We've been there with our previous projects.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's true. You came in late onto that. But yeah, Beer Tap TV, we are doing an episode every week religiously, pardon the pun, for 3 years, and I got burned out. Ba-dum-bum. So we're going to try to space it out.
If you saw that train wreck after he left me doing the sports show by myself,
I don't
think it was horrible, but you guys hated it. So
they hated our shit. We had like 2 viewers and it dropped to 1.
Yeah.
So it wasn't you. It was a bad...
If you listen to this, thank you. I know, I won't say names, but my sister-in-law listened to our last one. And,
oh, good.
And she is a Christian, she is religious, but she has an open mind. And she's like,
oh,
hey,
good.
She goes, I thought what you guys did was pretty good. And I told her, I said, that actually means a lot coming from you, knowing
sure,
what
absolutely.
I know about you.
I agree. So, yeah, I have many Christian friends that the caveat there is they're open-minded. And we can actually have discussions about certain things. In fact, I was talking to one of my good buddies that I've known for probably 20 years, and he's a Christian, but he's got some interesting beliefs that more align with what we think. He's able to incorporate a lot of the scientific aspect to Christianity, which more kudos to him. He's very, very well versed. He's very knowledgeable. We hope to have him on the show at some point. But he and I were bouncing around some theories. I was running some things by him about the flood. And we're going to talk about that, on the next episode because of some headline news that was broke recently about the flood. But as long as you have an open mind and you can approach the other side not as a militant troll, but as a human being that wants to have a discussion.
Even better, as long as you have an open mind and you're like, you know what, I heard those guys. Those guys sound like they're all right. They're not idiots, but I want to prove them wrong. Go and research it and prove us
wrong.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what we said this last week, and we haven't said it this week. We don't want you guys to stop believing. That's not what we're trying to do.
We're not here to change your mind.
We want you to go out and look and research and find things and say, wow, I didn't know that.
Right. Which happens to me every day.
And again, if you can prove us wrong, awesome, great. Try it.
Let's go. You need to prove us wrong with facts.
Yes.
Not just mumbo jumbo, I think this or I believe this because the Bible tells me so.
Well, you can't really say that, though. We used the Bible to verify.
Yeah, well, we used it against them.
True.
I dare them to say, okay, no, that's not what it says. Because I will bitch slap anybody that says that. Because that means they are incapable of reading a text and not extrapolating the truth from it. They can't separate their passion from what's actually being told.
Yes. You know what's awesome?
What?
We're like getting all these future shows.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting them lined up.
I can't wait to talk about Old Testament versus New Testament.
Oh, that's going to be up there.
That's going
to
be a good one.
Shoot. We might get to a point where we have to go every week just to get them all in.
That's a lot of beer.
So that's a lot of beer. That's a lot of Sunday sermons. So yeah, you know what? I totally forgot the question of the week. What I'll do is I'll put it on our Facebook page, and I'll do that probably by Tuesday, because Christmas is right around the corner.
We make it. I mean, the world is going to end next Friday.
That's true. That is true. I was gonna do. Totally forgot all about that. Damn it! I'm pissed at myself now.
You suck.
I know. So, speaking of Facebook page, go like us on Facebook at facebook.com/hairofthedogma. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/hairofthedogma. You can send me hate mail, questions, whatever, at eli@hairofthedogma.com.
You can send me naked pictures, autograph requests, and emails about how great I am at brandon@hairofthedogma.com.
So we're going to wrap this up. We want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. It should be pretty awesome. I personally cannot wait for this year to end because it sucked like fantastic.
Wow, this last, yeah.
Yeah, and then what happened with
Connecticut
shooting. I think everybody had a pretty bad year.
No matter what you believe, go find your loved ones and hug them and hold them and tell them you love them.
There you go. Very well said. Well, that's it for this year. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in the new year, assuming the world doesn't end.
If not, we'll see you guys in
a couple weeks.
Yeah, if you're right and we're wrong, we'll see you in the afterlife.
And then it won't matter. That's it.
There's no such thing as Santa.
I believe in Santa.